Technology has developed in leaps and bounds since the World Wide Web was invented by Tim Berners-Lee. Once you had to be a home or in the office to use your computer, then came the mobile phone with 1G, 2G, 3G and 4G, the fourth generation, combined with Wi-Fi, meaning we can all be interconnected instantly at all four corners of the globe.
Jedem von uns wird dazu etwas ganz persönliches.
Le temps est venu pour la France de se hisser à la hauteur du moment. La division et les fractures qui parcourent notre société.
But you know the way of 21st century commercialism, what we have isn't enough, ever. And so while 3G was replaced by 4G and dial-up modems were usurped by the tiniest of microchips, scientists are always looking at the next best thing, and they think they found it in 5G.
5G is the future, and it will change the way the world works forever. So everything and everyone you care about can always be connected from anywhere.
But not everyone shares that enthusiasm. For although 5G will download a movie in just a second compared to minutes with the fourth generation, there are those who say it comes at a price. Over 230 scientists and doctors have signed a petition demanding that the European Union stops the rollout of the new 5G technology. Immediately. So what's their beef? Dr. Erica Mallory-Blythe is a medical doctor with a background in multiple disciplines, including trauma medicine and most recently the effect of radiation on health.
5G will be using pre-existing 4G lower frequencies, but in addition to that, what's proposed are waves in the millimetre or wavelength bands. These are of a much higher frequency and smaller wavelength, and what that means is that they don't propagate extremely well, they don't penetrate. So this will need a much higher density of antennas to transmit them. There's very, very little research done on the biological properties of millimeter waves. But what we do know from the literature that is published is they definitely interfere with biology. But the important thing is that the research is massively incomplete, although we have evidence that justifies a very high level of concern. That's never been properly investigated. There's been no public consultation, no risk assessment, and no proper health and safety testing on any level at all.
So what kind of testing is taking place? I've headed here to Millbrook, a 700-acre high-security site 45 miles north of London. It's here that a number of racetracks are used by government-sponsored companies to establish how 5G can be efficiently beamed at fast-moving vehicles. Cell phones, of course, connect to your nearest cell tower. In 5G's case, these towers will be smaller but everywhere. I'm going onto the track to see how well they connect to my laptop in a car travelling at 120 miles an hour.
Hi, I'm Andrew Hack. I'm the senior test driver at Millbrook Proving Ground. We're going to go out in the car now and demonstrate our 5G network.
The weather's pretty atrocious today, but we'll get you over the 100 mile an hour mark. There are your marker poles, show you where you get your transmissions from. We're sitting at 120 mile an hour.
And the connection with our two guys back at base.
It just takes a time for the signal to bounce back at over 100 mile an hour at the moment.
We're doing 128 miles an hour in the wind and rain.
Hello, can you see us?
Yeah, we've now connected via FaceTime.
I'm Peter Clayton. I'm project director of the Auto Air project that's deployed the 5G network at Millbrook. The radio signals from all of those masts surrounding aren't very strong. So to cover that sort of area with those small masts, we actually need lots of...
And that's the concern from some people from a health aspect, that there are going to be a lot of these systems down their roads. Can you allay any fears that they have?
Yes, well, all of us in the mobile industry pay a lot of attention to this and have done for a number of years. What we pay most attention to is an international organisation, which we all call ICNIRP, the International Commission on Non-Ionising Radiation Protection. Now, this is an organisation that goes back to the 1960s, is formed mainly by a group of medical experts, in fact, who look at what the effects are on a human being. And the UK, in common with probably every other country in the world, bases the guidelines and on installation of mobile technology on the ICNIRP recommendations.
Okay, so all of this research and investigation took place for 2G, 3G, 4G. What's the difference with 5G? Because there are concerns that it's more dense, it uses a new form of technology, and that's why you can download a movie in a second rather than a few minutes.
Yes, all the research shows it is actually the intensity of the radio waves, which is the thing. So it's like with sound. There are recommendations for sound as well. And it doesn't actually matter whether you're listening to Beethoven or Madonna. It's still the same sound intensity that's important. So if you put Beethoven at the same loudness as a heavy metal band, it's going to have the same effect in your ears.
So when I travelled around the track at up to 120 miles an hour with Andy a moment ago, and we saw all of those different masts on our route pumping out 5G, that is what is going to, in effect, be on people's high streets, because you need more of those masts, whereas with 4G you don't.
If you just had a mast at the top of a tall building that was servicing a kilometre radius, it might be capable of providing 5 gigabits per second. But if there are 5,000 people in that area, they're still not going to get very much each. So you need lots of smaller masts around, just so that everyone can still get that high download speed. The other thing is that 5G is tending to use radio waves at higher frequencies than 4G or 3G. And the higher frequency you go to, the less well radio waves travel. They basically fade out sooner.
So we know about the benefits of 5G, faster connectivity. That's what's happening here at Millbrook. But you can fundamentally reassure those people who are concerned that it may affect human health that you don't think it will.
No, the research that's been done, going back decades now, is equally applicable to 5G as it was to any other radio technology in the past.
Well, we've heard all about the technical testing and the alleged benefits of 5G, but there are those who say that they are made ill by the technology of the 21st century. I've come to a remote part of the English countryside to find Phil Inkley, a so-called Wi-Fi refugee and an electro-sensitive who travels around in his caravan trying to avoid the frequencies that he believes are making him and others ill.
All was fine until things started going wireless. The first time I got any symptoms was when my father got a Bluetooth hands-free kit for his vehicle and he asked me to pair it with his phone. When they went into pairing mode, I started getting really uncomfortable, aching pain in my heart, and I was suffering a persistent headache like no headache I'd ever had before. It was absolutely crippling.
For people like Phil, the rollout of 5G is another worry. Equally concerned in the US, Senator Richard Blumenthal addressed representatives from US tech giants in the Senate. He asked Brad Gillen from CTIA, which represents the US wireless communications industry, and Steve Berry from the Competitive Carriers Association, how much money had been invested into research on the effect of 5G on human health.
I believe that Americans deserve to know what the health effects are. So how much money has the industry committed to supporting additional independent research? Is that independent research ongoing? Has any been completed? And we're talking about research on the biological effects of this new technology.
Thank you, Senator. I think safety is paramount. And as you alluded to, we rely on the expert agencies, we rely on the findings of the FDA and others as to the requirements to keep all of us safe. There are no industry back studies to my knowledge right now. Happy to visit with you as to what opportunities you think there needs to be more studies, and we're always for more science. We also rely on what the scientists tell us.
So essentially the answer to my question, how much money? Zero.
To my knowledge, there's no active studies being backed by industry today.
Anybody else know of industry commitments to ascertain scientifically the health effect?
No, I'm not aware of any.
So there really is no research ongoing. We're kind of flying blind here, so far as health and safety is concerned.
Well, 5G is rolling out in a number of countries worldwide, and in the UK, it began at the end of May when one of the biggest carriers, EE, launched 5G. Its CEO, Mark Allera, is convinced the new service is safe.
I would say safety and security for us and the industry is the number one thing we focus on before we launch any new technology and work with the technologies we already work with. I've seen a number of quite extreme rumours about this new technology, none of which are true. We've worked for more than 30 years with bodies like the World Health Organization that help us as an industry create standards that we abide by, and we take them very seriously. But we wouldn't be launching anything that isn't safe, and we'll continue to work with all of the relevant health bodies around the world to ensure these standards are kept at the very highest level.
Well, despite reassurances from the industry that 5G is just as safe as 3G, 4G and the technology before it, Dr. Erica Mallory-Blythe isn't convinced. Having heard the industry's arguments, she still believes that economics are being put before safety.
You know, the health effects that we're looking at here, they're not trivial. So this is not something that we can brush under the carpet and say it's not of importance. It's of massive importance, and it goes way beyond any possible economic gain that is highly short-sighted.
As we've heard, no specific testing on the effects of 5G on human health seems to have been carried out. But Dr. Steve Novella, an assistant professor of neurology at Yale, claims that it uses the same electromagnetic field as the sun. And of course, we've been exposed to that for millennia.
Potential hazard from 5G is actually very, very low. It is an electromagnetic field, but it is non-ionizing radiation. It's not strong enough to break chemical bonds, damage DNA, for example. There's a lot of research into the biological effects of radio frequency electromagnetic waves, and the only reproducible effect that has come out of this research is slight tissue heating. That's it. So there really isn't particularly much of a reason to think that exposure to 5G through our technology is hazardous. There's no evidence of any risk from it, that it causes any actual harm. And, you know, when you think about it, we're getting bathed by the sun with higher frequency, more intense electromagnetic radiation every day than you're going to get exposed to through 5G.
So after traveling around a racetrack at 128 miles an hour and observing what 5G can do, I've seen why people are getting so excited about the rollout of it globally. But while many feel that 5G is the best thing since sliced bread, there are still those who believe that if the technology continues to be rolled out without the testing they demand, we could all soon be toast.